want to read here in Numbers chapter 19, and I want to read verse 11 and 12. And I would give this a title of, He Shall Purify Himself. He shall purify himself. You see, if you remember, when we studied the Great Day of Atonement, the focal point was on the high priest, the fit man, the goat whose lot fell upon the Lord that would be killed, and then the scapegoat. That was the focal point. But we also had a message about what the rest of the people did. Remember what they did? They stayed outside the tabernacle and they afflicted themselves, spiritually speaking. They repented of their sins. They had godly sorrow in their hearts over the fact that they had trespassed against a holy God. Well, this morning we're going to note, we noted the red heifer happens to the red heifer. We noted who does it. And now we're going to take notice of what the recipients of the ordinance of the red heifer, what they're supposed to do. Verse 11. He that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with it. With it refers back to the water of separation. You read this whole chapter again and you remember they took that red heifer and they killed it and sprinkled its blood before the door of the tabernacle 7 times, and they burned the ashes, and then they mixed the ashes with running water. And the running water is significant of the Holy Spirit of God. And he says, he shall purify himself with it, with that water of purification that has the ashes and the running water mixed together. With it on the 3rd day, and on the 7th day he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself the 3rd day, then the 7th day he shall not be clean. So I want to note here this morning that he shall purify himself. Again, we've seen this red heifer. It's described in verse 2. And in verse 3, it is a red heifer. It is to be without spot. There's to be no blemish. Never a yoke came upon it. And it was to be slain without the camp. And then it was to be burned. And all of this pictures Jesus. That red heifer, the red speaks of the fact that he was man, he became the God-man. The heifer speaks of that which brings forth life. The without spot, the without blemish speaks of the perfectly pureness within and without. The never a yoke came upon it shows the voluntariness of the Lord and all that he did. He didn't have to be compelled. God didn't have to jerk him or lead him to Calvary. He submitted to it, didn't he? The without the camp shows that he was rejected and he was slain without the camp. He was numbered with the transgressors, the Bible tells us. And then the fact that the heifer was burned, or the blood shed, speaks of the shed blood of Jesus, and then the burning speaks about the judgment. And oh, he was judged. And he was found to be perfect. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, came the voice of the Heavenly Father. Last week we noted that these ashes were mixed with this running water. And that signified the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39, He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly or out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. The Holy Spirit was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. See, this is a wonderful picture of how God cleanses you and I who are saved. He purges from me uncleanness. He purifies and he deals with those dead works. And if you want to know what a dead work is, again, A dead work is a work that has no life in it. And boy, we're full of them. We're full of dead works. We're full of things that we say, we think, we do that are not spiritual life in them. Paul said the same thing. I refer you again to Romans chapter 7. You read that and see if that isn't a picture. He said, all the things that I would do, I do not. The things that I would not, I do. He said there was no good thing that dwells within his body. Now I want you to notice here as well in verse 18 that there is one who cleanses us. And the Bible gives us this picture in Numbers 19 and verse 18. It says, and a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water and sprinkle it upon the tent and upon all the vessels and upon the persons that were there and upon him that touched a bone or one slain or one dead or a grave. Verse 19, and the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day and on the seventh day. So you had to have somebody who was clean in order to apply it to cleanse you. I don't know anybody who's clean other than Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the only one. Nobody else meets this qualification. There in John chapter 13, when he washed the disciples' feet, he was the one who did the washing, wasn't he? Simon Peter said, you'll never wash my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with me. It was Christ who rose from the table, put about himself an apron, if you would, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. He is the one who does the cleansing. Look over in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll read this verse again. We noted this before. Ephesians 5 and verse 25, 26, and 27. And this, here's a wonderful picture of the past, present, and future of the Lord's church. In Sunday school, we noted what's going to happen in the future with respect to the Lord's church. We already read about this verse. We expounded it there in the book of Revelation. But here in Ephesians 5, he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word. See, verse 25, he's already done that. He already gave himself. He already shed his blood for his church. There at Calvary, the blood was shed, wasn't it? And now in verse 26, this is what he's currently doing. He is sanctifying and cleansing it with the washing of water by the word. It's the word of God. We come into the assembly of the saints and God cleanses us with his word. His spirit takes it and makes it effective. John chapter 13, Jesus was there in church capacity and he began to wash their feet. Now, no imitation is going to work. You see, Jesus doesn't assemble with churches that are not His. Amen. He walks in the midst of His lampstand, not in the midst of other people's lampstands. Or in Satan's lampstands. Christ comes in, and He's always so faithful to be here, isn't He? We have an example you read in Revelation 2 and in Revelation 3, those seven churches of Asia, even when they were lukewarm and they had shut the Lord of glory outside His church, He still came, didn't He? That church at Laodicea, He was outside the door and He was knocking on the church door and He said, if any man will open on me, I'll come in and sup with them. He's always faithful. So this is what He's doing now. He's sanctifying and cleansing it with the washing of water by the word. Verse 27, To what end? What is the purpose? That He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That sounds like what we studied this morning in Sunday school, there with the Lord's church. And it also sounds a whole lot like what happens with the red heifer, doesn't it? How that the blood and the ashes and the water, how that it's applied and how that it's done, and we're cleansed, and it's removing the spots, isn't it? It's purifying us. And the Lord's the one that's doing it. I don't know anybody who fits that description except the Lord Jesus, a clean person. Notice what it says back in our text in Numbers 19. Numbers chapter 19 and verse 18. Now, I really like the language that the Spirit of God uses, because it just makes it so absolutely certain. It says in verse 18, "And a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water." Verse 19, "And the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day." Notice that word "shall." Do you know what that word is? It is God's assurance that it will take place. You can rest assured that Jesus Christ is going to fulfill the office of the clean person in sprinkling the water of separation and cleansing us from our impurities. He's going to sanctify and cleanse us. I don't need to worry that Jesus is going to neglect to sprinkle me with this cleansing wave. I don't need to worry about that. See, that's His work. But up here in verse 11 and 12, this is my responsibility and this is your responsibility. He said, "He that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days." Well, I just spent a whole bunch of time in the last 6-7 days, and even this morning, touching things that are dead. And so did you. Now, the Jews, it was a physical thing. But with us, and we already noted this, that these dead bones and these dead people and these vessels that were exposed to dead people and these bones and these graves are all significant and emblematic of sin. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse 1, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." Dead is always significant of sinfulness. Always. Why they're called dead works? Because there's no life in them. They're sinful. And so we read here and we study and we find out, he says, that if you've touched the dead body, and you can go down and you find out, and not only is it a dead body, but the Bible tells us in verse 14, "This is the law, when a man dieth in a tent, all that come into the tent, all that is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. And every open vessel which hath no covering bound upon it is unclean. And whosoever toucheth one that is slain with a sword in the open fields, or a dead body, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. Remember I said, you could just be walking through a field and touch a dead bone. It could graze you. You might not even know it. You might be out plowing your field, and it just grazed your foot. You're unclean. You might walk over some grave that's unmarked. You're unclean. Remember what Jesus said? And to me, this is just the epitome of how easy sin is. He said, "You look at a woman, and you don't have to commit the outward act, but you look and you lust after her in your heart, you've committed adultery with her." Just look. Just lust. Just think. Right now, we are supposed to be here, assembled together in this church, and we are to be wholly consecrated and devoted, our heart, our mind, our soul, and our spirit, wholly focused on Jesus Christ. Well, if we're not, that's sin. That's defilement. We're unclean. And we need to be cleansed. And so here's my duty. Verse 12. He shall purify himself. Say, well, I thought you said that you had to have a clean person do the work. Well, yeah. Jesus is going to do His work. That's not the question, is it? The question is, are we going to do what we're supposed to do? What God's commanded us to do? He said, He shall purify Himself with it on the third day. You know what He had to do? He had to go and He had to say, I touched a dead bone, I touched a dead body, I touched a grave. I need to be cleansed. You know what you and I need to do? Had an impure thought. And I need to be cleansed. Lord, here's my impure thought. Here's the word that I said. Here's the thought that I had. Here's the deed that I did. And I need You to cleanse me. Because You're the only clean person I know. Say, how often do I need to do that? Probably every hour of every day. Probably every minute. If we're being honest, He shall purify Himself, that he or she who touched the dead body, who is impure, is to purify himself. Turn over to Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah chapter 13. You find the book of Job. Go back two books. You'll find Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 13. See, God has always commanded His people to purify themselves. Always. Say, this is some new thing. This is something I've never heard of before. Well, you missed it then, because it's right there. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 22. He said, and I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of Thy mercy. Notice, I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves. Remember what the Lord told us through the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3? He said, if you think you're saved and you believe that Jesus is going to come again for you, if your hope is that He's going to come in the air and rapture you home, then you ought to purify yourself even as He is pure. You read that 1 John 3 and verse 3. Purify yourselves even as He is pure. See, we've been called by the Lord to purify ourselves. I'm going to read in your hearing what the Lord gave us through the Apostle Paul. He wrote unto Titus and he said, Titus 2:14, he said, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So, you've got the Lord purifying, and you've got you and I submitting to what God says that we might be purified. That's what has to happen. The Holy Spirit is the agent whom God uses through His eternal word. And He reveals to us by the work of His Holy Spirit, speaking to our spirits, that there is uncleanness in our lives and we must purify that. Now it seems to me that this cleansing this washing of our feet, this sanctifying, has a special application in the house of the Lord. Isn't that where Jesus washed their feet when they were in church capacity? Absolutely. Isn't that what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26? We read it to you. That he, first of all, he's going to give himself for the church. Second of all, he was going to wash it, cleanse it, sanctify it with the washing of the water by the word. Where was that happening? In the church. Where did God in the Great Commission instruct the preaching of the word and the feeding of his flock to be? In the church. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Didn't he say that he'd walk in the midst of the lampstand? Turn over in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. You know, if we're going to be cleansed, and I don't mean to, I don't know any other way to say it. If you're going to be cleansed, you need to be in the house of the Lord. You need to be in church. If you're going to be washed with the water of the Word of God, you need to be in church. If you don't think that's so, all you have to do is look at the lives of a lot of people who forsaken assembly with the Lord's church and see what's happening in their lives. Amen. They are not serving the Lord. Amen. They're not following Him. Look here in Revelation chapter 2. Here's a church, one of the seven churches of Asia. And notice here, Revelation 2 verses 4 and 5. Here's the church at Ephesus. And notice how Jesus comes to them. And he says in verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee." Ever been in the house of the Lord and God says, "I have somewhat against thee"? If you haven't, you probably weren't paying attention. Because the Bible tells us that the Word of God is God-breathed. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for rebuke, for correction. That means God is going to tell you and I what we are doing wrong and how to fix it and where we need to be. It's profitable for that. It's profitable that you and I might be instructed in righteousness. That the man of God may be what? May be perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. So if God's word is going to correct me and instruct me, teach me, rebuke me, reprove me, I need to be where God's Word is. In the house of the Lord. It is the pillar and ground of the truth. He says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee." You know what that sounds a whole lot like? Sounds a whole lot like what Samuel or Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man," doesn't it? God telling you, you know what? You and I, we're not on the same page. You ever been there before? Are you there right now? You can get right with God. He says in this verse, he says, "Because thou hast left thy first love, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent." He says, remember where you used to be, and you left your first love, you need to repent. And you're not talking about a physical woman or a physical man either. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. And do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. He tells the church at Ephesus, says, "But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So he tells him, he says, you got some things that you and I are on the same page on, but here's something over here. You've got some impurities in your life, and they need to be dealt with. And where did God reveal that to them at? In the church. He said in verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. You know who the angel of the church is? It's the messenger. It's the pastor of the church. See, God gives the word to the ministers, and the ministers preach, and we don't just preach to the people, we preach to ourselves, because we're also church members. Look in chapter 2, verse 14 of Revelation. Revelation 2 and verse 14. This is what he says to the church at Pergamos. He says, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed on idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. He says, you've got some who are holding in the church to false doctrine. You know how false doctrine gets revealed in the Lord's church? By preaching true doctrine. That's how. And the Spirit of God takes it, and you're sitting there, and maybe you thought, well, maybe everybody who's saved is in the Lord's church. Well, if you still think that, I don't know what to tell you. Because God made it abundantly clear. If you think that these up here on top of this chart are just as good, just as equal to the Lord's church, I don't know what else I can tell you. I don't know what else God can tell you. If you think that you can earn salvation, that you can be good enough, that you can be saved outside of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, I don't know what else to tell you. We're going to keep saying the same thing, because that's what the Bible says. That there is no other way to be saved except through the Lord Jesus Christ. That there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved. That you need to repent and believe the gospel and be baptized. Be a member of the Lord's church and serve Him in and through it. He said, I have a few things against thee. And then he said, verse 16, repent. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. See how God deals with these things with His Word? People say, oh, well, if God really means it, then He'll do this. You don't want God to do those things. You really don't. You see how the word of the Lord comes to His church? See how He gave it unto the angel of the church, the messenger, the pastor. The message is conveyed unto the church. Now imagine if you missed the service. Imagine if you weren't there when your feet were dirty and they needed to be cleansed. Imagine if you spent the whole time daydreaming, worried about what time it is, worried about getting to the buffet on time, worried about beating traffic on the way home, worried about whatever you got going on later today or tomorrow or the rest of the week, you're missing out, and I miss out when I do those things on the cleansing of the Word of God. You know what Thomas missed out? They said, oh, Thomas, The Lord Jesus came and He was there. You know what He missed out with? He missed out being with the Lord and He missed out that cleansing. Can you imagine one of those angels of the church at Ephesus saying, I got this letter from John, the apostle. He's on the Isle of Patmos, but he sent this letter to us. He received a revelation from Jesus Christ. I'm going to read it to you. And there weren't church members there, or maybe some of them got up and walked out in the middle of it. Can you imagine that? Maybe some of them were daydreaming. Maybe some of them were actually dreaming because they were sleeping and snoring in the house of God. That happens. See, the problem is we really don't believe that Jesus is walking in the midst of this lampstand, even though He says He is. That He's here to cleanse us from our impurities. No wonder the Holy Spirit said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In Numbers 19 and verse 12, He said, He shall purify Himself. One of the greatest tragedies in all the world is to sit under the preaching, teaching, and studying of the Word of God and lives are not changed. Some folks will say, well, that's God, you know, that's God's business. You know, the Bible says God makes this application in Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. He refers to the rain, how the rain or the snow comes down from heaven and it waters the field and then it goes into the ground and then it evaporates and it returns under the heavens. He says, that's exactly what My Word does. It comes down and it does exactly what I want it to, and it does not return to Me void. And so we might come into the house of God, we might walk out and say, well, nothing happened, but I guess that's what God didn't want to happen. I guess God didn't want my life to change. You ever think that maybe He's just setting coals on a fire? You ever think that? You ever think, here's the Lord, and boy, that message didn't bother me at all. God's just pouring another gallon of gas. Oh, it's having the effect, all right. You're just ignorant. I was ignorant for years until the Lord saved me. Now I've just got this problem with the flesh. If you're sitting under the preaching of God's Word and it doesn't bother you at all, maybe it's because it's just cold. You know, that happened to a rich man, and Abraham said unto him, Son, remember that in thy lifetime thou receivest good things. You know what good things he received? It wasn't that he was rich. It was that he was a child of Israel. He was a son of Abraham. He had all the covenants there. And he rejected them all. You see, we need to purify ourselves. When's the last time we fell upon our knees, our spiritual knees, and cried out to the Lord God to cleanse us from some sin, some uncleanness, some dead work that has been given safe haven in our lives for far too long? All too often we're minimizing sin, we're neglecting and negating just how unclean and how defiled we really and truly are. When is the last time that God came to you and said, "Thou art the man"? And our response was, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." See, that's what we need to do. We need to come to the house of the Lord. We need to receive God's Word. And when He corrects us, we need to respond with, Lord, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. What if all we ever do is sit under the preaching of God's Word, read our Bibles, and we don't ever repent of specific sins that God brings to light? You know, He may quit bringing them to light. He may quit dealing with you. Your conscience might be seared like with hot iron. All we need to seek that God would purge us. Sometimes we're no better than the man who did not submit to the washing with this water of separation. We're unclean. Coming in the house of the Lord, and we ought to be cleansed and sprinkled with the water of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, taking it, making it effective in my heart, my life, and turning to the Lord and saying, "Have mercy. Lord, I thought I was clean, but clearly not. I got a lot of problems. I need You to fix it. I got this sin in my life. I've got this transgression. I had this impure thought. I had all these. Yeah, I've got this. I hate this false doctrine. I hate this false teaching. But You still got something against me." If you're here this morning, you're lost, you need to repent and be saved. You need to be washed in the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And to those of us who are saved, we are clean every whit. And we need our feet washed. And we need to come to the house of the Lord for that, that we might be cleansed from every unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His Word is not in us. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So I pray, Lord, affect our lives with His Word, that we might turn to Him and seek His cleansing. We're going to have a song, a verse of invitation. Brother Frank, if you'll come, we'll sing a verse and then we'll close a word of prayer. We'll have a brief intermission and then we'll have the second sermon after that.
Turn to page 371. In tenderness He sought me. One verse. In tenderness He sought me, weary and sick with sin, and on His shoulders brought me back to His fold again. While angels in His presence sang until the courts of heaven rang. Oh, the love that sought me, oh, the blood that bought me, oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace that brought me to the fold.
All right, let's bow our heads. We'll have a word of prayer and then just a brief intermission. And then we'll start back with song service. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before Thy throne, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You for the truth of His Word about His church. I pray that You might help us, that we'll occupy until You come. Lord, that You might be pleased to use us in the service of the Lord.
We thank you for this new week you brought us to. We thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you might help us to respond as we should to the preaching and teaching of your word. Lord, that you'd give grace in that area. We don't always respond as we should. Pray that we might be like David, whose heart was after you, and which doesn't mean that he always did everything right and didn't sin, but when he did sin and you rebuked him, he turned to you. So help us that, Lord, we might do that. Lord, that your Spirit would deal with the impurities in our lives that we don't even know about, that you might bring them to the forefront, that you might bring them up as a seething pot, that all that imperfection would be removed, that you might put us in the fire and purify us, cleanse us. As the brother spoke about affliction, Lord, sometimes you use affliction to do that. So we pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Help us not to faint. You know what we are. You know what we're made of. You know our weaknesses. That you'd be mindful of us and hold us up. We ask this in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hold on, I
got your
brief. Oh, yes.
I got it.
Okay, thank you. Now, I'll wheel you out.
Okay.
Daniel. I'll sit down.
Yeah, we got first class service here.
Do you really think?
These are my good ones.
I'm glad I got you a good one. Well, I'm glad you told me what they taste like.
No, he's been. I had this one up here because he was just.
I never tried those. I never saw those. They had other flavors too.
Where are you getting these?
Thank you. There's a orange and a lemon and a mango, and this little one up front is a moringa. It is like a seed pod, but you use the leaves in tea.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So. Have you ever had like lemon balm? Where it's kind of got like a.
I really like it. On the church.
It's got like a bit of a citrusy, but it's got like an earthy citrusy taste. But it's really good for you.
Wednesday,
I like it.
I have some fruit and I think Rosa might be here for you. Just wait up here by 11.
Prayer band will flip at 10:30 to 11, so I'll just pray here myself.
Yeah. And
you'll be to wait till you get here at 11?
I have to leave like 5 minutes after the till, and then I just come straight. It takes me 5 minutes to get here. I'll tell them that I'm taking an early lunch, and that way I have the whole hour.
Yeah, I've only got that one message, so I'm just going to go.
That's right.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you. We just play it by ear.
Yeah.
Still bothers me.
We gotta get a thing where you can put off, like, we'll be right back. And then, you know, like, no.
Well, they did.
How they do it.
Oh, you mean on there?
Huh? I have to ask them how they do it. I can mess
they have a thing on Facebook when they have an intermission. It'll say, you know, services will resume in a few minutes. So that way when we have this break. Because I don't want to stop it. Cause
I guess when you're
watching it, you're on the camera with it, I guess, you know. Right, and if you cut it off, then
you won't get it back.
Yeah, you got a word there.
What?
A word there. Have you given them all away?
Do you know how I'll pack this stuff?
So I've got a bunch.
Well, you hang on to them. I just need one. Okay.
There you go.
Well, they might not make it to
a rainy day.
Thank you.
What's that song you said, the Candy Man can? Yes, she's the Candy Man.
They said he argued with them all the way up there.
How's your son-in-law doing?
Okay. Nine and 12.
Okay. Well, we continue praying for him and your daughter. And let's say I'm leaving tonight, but if you need anything or need anything, you got my phone number. It's on the flyer. Appreciate it. Well, I like I said, when he didn't, I just felt impressed to go up there more frequently than once a year. And so when we were able to get a flight, we were going to church as best as we could, where I'm not missing a Sunday and other things. So it was better to miss one service than three. And so we were able to do that. And we found out, like, oh my God, flight, I'm coming up. And I don't mind. It was just how much do we cram in three and a half days?
You're gonna find out.
Yeah, exactly.
You sleep on the plane on the way home.
Exactly. All right, well, let's go ahead and get started. Frank, you want to start out with him? How many got? Two?
Two.
Let's do, we'll do both.
Turn to page 370. I found a friend. I found a friend. My own I call.
such a friend. All power to him is given to guide me on my homeward course and bring me safe to heaven. Though there are glories gleam afar to nerve my faith in heaven. Such a friend, so kind and true and tender, so wise to counsel and guide, so mighty a defender. From him who loved me now so well, what power my soul could sever, shall life or death or earth or hell, no. I am his forever.
Turn to page 378. Take the name of Jesus with you. Page
complete, precious name.